you can't fix.
If you can't fix what's broken, you'll go insane.
It's Jay and Adam. It's Preview.
It's Preview's Fix It with Adam and Jay.
Hey, peaches! Welcome to Fix It, where friends don't let friends fix pop culture alone. And yes, I almost said the other intro.
You almost did.
But I didn't.
You did not.
But I didn't.
You did. You're a good, good boy.
I'm a good, good podcast boy.
I'm Adam.
Welcome to our podcast, Fix It. I'm Jay. That's Adam. You may know us. Oh, wait. No. Wait.
You forgot to say your name, but you did it again.
See,
anyways.
Now we gotta. See.
We're doing it live, Jay. We're doing it live.
Hey there, listen. Oh, yeah.
I got you off your game.
And you're our listener.
Hey there, listeners.
Ho there, listeners.
Bustin' makes me feel. That listeners.
Yeah, that's right, listeners. That's right. Every building in Blisteria is low key haunted, and we're bustin' so much that it no longer makes us feel good.
Okay.
It's just honestly, it's just a day-to-day
that
thing.
That was just a job.
Dude, you know how heavy those proton packs are? They've got to be
decently heavy. Like,
and they get hot. It's, you know, it's
a nuclear reactor on your back,
man. You get
man.
That back sweat going. So we hear your plea, Listeria, but unfortunately, we have not found the ghost hole yet. And once we do, we'll fill that ghost hole. Yep, that's a sentence I said today. Welcome to Fix It. I'm Jay, that's Adam. You may know us from the wildly successful reaction channel on YouTube, Previewed. I said that in a weird way. Man, I'm firing on all cylinders.
Ghost
today.
Hole, baby!
Ghost hole! This is our podcast, Fix It, where every week Adam and I take a piece of pop culture that maybe missed the mark, maybe didn't quite get there, maybe just missed their proton shot, and we fix it. And today we are going to be fixing 2016's remake.
I think it was a solid attempt at a remake of the original.
A remake of Ghostbusters. The Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy led Ghostbusters.
Yep.
I think this has been a highly requested episode for us to do.
This is one of the top five. Yep, since a couple years ago. Oh my God, Ghostbusters!
Also, since Frozen Kingdom is coming out soon, we figured we could probably, you know, spend some time.
We fixed Ghostbusters 2 last year.
We sure did.
Well, we had some really good fixes with that one.
And the funny thing is that like, that compared to this, the fact that we fixed that one first is still a very interesting choice.
Yeah, well, we knew this movie was coming, so we were saving this for the next actual.
You gotta keep your hot ones dry.
Gotta keep your potted dry.
And I know you're at home saying, Jay, if this was a hot one, maybe you could have done the intro a little bit more professionally. But you know what? That's how we roll here in Blisteria.
Today, that's how we're rolling, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a Blisterian? Get back to work. We got ghosts to bust. The library,
we got ghost holes to find.
The library's full of them, okay? The library's absolutely full of them. Get back to work.
All those dead librarians.
Oh, boy.
Maybe we should have fed them.
Oh, man.
Comptroller, man. That's the comptroller's fault right there.
It's a dangerous job being a librarian in Blisteria. Any hoozles. Before we get into fixing Ghostbusters, we've come to everyone's absolute most favoritest of all of our segments. We took a poll.
Everyone voted.
Everyone voted. And this is their most favorite segment. Before we get into our fixes, Adam and I, we deepen our friendship and our fellowship because they mean the same thing. In a little segment that we like to call Roll for Convo.
Roll for Convo.
Our lovely producer, Brian, who's the best producer in the biz, but also is secretly on our list.
Yeah, he could be a ghost. We don't know.
He could be a ghost.
He could be a ghost.
Brian, do you need bustin'? We'll get you.
We will.
It makes us feel good. our lovely producer, Brian, has given us 20 topics of conversation, and I'm going to roll a 20-sided die to figure out what we're talking about today. And the topic of conversation is a gentleman's three.
A gentleman's three. What is one trivial hill that you're willing to die on?
Trivial hill. Ooh.
That narrows it down a little
But
bit.
Here's the thing. I think if it's a hill that you're willing to die on, yeah. I don't think you view it, like, I don't think it's trivial to you.
That's fair.
So that's why it's kind of hard to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, something immediately popped into my head, but I was like, yeah, but that's not trivial. I'm like, yeah, but it is kind of trivial. Do you know what my trivial, there's a couple of trivial hills I will die
okay.
on. First and foremost, the line or a queue, whatever you call it,
mm-hmm.
it is a holy thing. It is a thing that must be respected. It is a thing that must be observed. If you are walking into a place and you see that there are people lined up and you just are like, well, that line can't possibly for me, you, my friend, have earned a scorching hot ticket to hell. Line cutters. People who ignore lines.
Sure.
Lineage is a very, very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You must observe the queue. And honestly, also to that effect, if you have to wait in line for something, I am of the firm mindset that if you have to wait in line for something, and if you've chosen to wait in line for that thing,
mm-hmm.
you need to shut up about how long the wait is.
Oh, okay.
That's like the line culture is very important.
Sure.
It is the first bastion of polite society.
It really is. Can we all wait here for something? And yeah.
It must be respected at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we like, you know that, you know, you ever been waiting in line? You have that person in front of you who's like, oh, we've been waiting forever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, we know, Trent. We know. We're all here. This is not you wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to do this. The line, the thing at the front of the line said how long the wait was probably going to be. And you said, I'm willing to accept that. So accept it. Okay? Look at both cameras.
Watch
looking
out
at
now.
Your camera too.
Oh my God!
I'm looking at all.
Watch
of
out
them.
Now!
I'm looking at all of them. Observe and respect the line. It may seem like a trivial thing. Nothing makes me more mad when people are like, "Is this the line for the thing?" Obviously, it's the line for the thing. I would rather stand in a line that I didn't need to be standing in than assume that the line didn't apply to me.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's a big deal. My other trivial hill.
Oh, okay, sure.
The first expense of a wedding should be an open bar.
Oh,
the first expense.
Wow.
You can just scrimp on literally everything else. It should be an open bar.
Okay, so yeah.
And I know I might be stepping on some toes with this, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, but like it should be your first thing. And I know that makes me sound like an alcoholic. I actually don't even drink that much. But like it's cash. No one brings cash. No one brings cash. Who's got cash? Nobody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you? What are your trivial hills? This shouldn't be hard for you.
I know.
This shouldn't be hard for you. You're the most persnickety person that I know about certain things.
No, I'm not persnickety.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, what would you define it for trivial? What, you know, what would be trivial for me? Because like, I mean, social faux pas, like, for example, people who talk too loud in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Like instant death.
I don't think that's, yeah, I'm not sure that that's trivial, but I know where your head's at.
But like there,
but you're on the right track, I think.
But there is, you know, there's the whispering to your friend during a thing. Oh, I think this is good. That's fine. It's the people who just disrespect the theater going experience.
But also, I will say
this. I don't think that's trivial anymore.
I will say this. It is like, it is very much like if you're going to make an off-color joke during Community Day Jackbox.
It just better be funny.
You got to be funny. Yeah. If you're going to be the loud person in the audience, you better make the movie better. And that and look.
I know.
That's a weird deal for us to die on.
I know. I'm aware. But we don't do... This show can go on the road, Jay, but the audience would know full well what show they are going to get from us.
It is a special thing when you get that one person who's like, especially like in horror movies and stuff, and they're like yelling out, and it's like, oh yeah, this is so much better because you're here. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you for your service.
It's too rare, though.
It's risky, though.
It's very risky. But most of the time, that never works, and it just ruins the theater-going experience. And it seems like a lot to nowadays, everyone's just like, I don't like going to the movies anymore. People are getting ruder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they just keep talking, or on their cell phone, or bringing kids
because
to
an people
art film.
Are too used to just watching things in the comfort of their home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful. Like, streaming is a great thing.
It is.
But the movie theater is, it's
sacrosanct.
It is a holy place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to whisper to your friend, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me.
Because especially if, like, sometimes you're going to a Marvel movie and it's you're looking around being like, can you believe that that just happened? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, that is being social.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the movies is a social experiment. Being on your phone or, like, being loud, that's not social.
Mm-hmm.
That is not enhancing the tribe in any way. I think, do you have any, like, editing, like, hills you'll die on?
A lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I
think that's where it gets tricky for you is because, like, you don't, anything that you have a particular mindset on, you're like, this is not trivial.
This isn't trivial. Those J cuts need to be precise.
Trivial. This is not trivial.
Yeah. Fade the music out. You know, just fade it out at the end at a cut. What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess the answer is I have a lot. I spread myself thin on many trivial hills.
I think the answer is nothing is trivial to you.
I have strong opinions about everything.
That's fair. I knew that. Yeah, as soon as it was like trivial hills, and I was like, yeah, okay. All right, well, that's been Roll for Convo, everybody. That's been Roll for Convo. Don't you dare cut me in line. Don't you dare. Someone cut me in line when we were waiting for a Southwest flight, and Kimberly saw Mad Jay in a way that was not cute. I felt really bad, but also the guy was being a jerk. Never mind. Not the time or the place. Not the time or place. We should probably move into Ghostbusters, shouldn't we?
We should move into Ghostbusters.
But before we move into Ghostbusters, we should probably learn more about Ghostbusters.
Yes.
As it were.
A little reminder, what happened 8 years ago?
Yeah, and perhaps educate our audience as well with our producer, Brian. Brian, why don't you let us know about Ghostbusters 2016 when you roll that beautiful bean fun fact footage.
Thank you, gentlemen. Producer Brian here, and today we're trying to fix 2016's Ghostbusters. Directed by the wonderful Paul Feig, it stars Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon, and Chris Hemsworth. Additionally, most of the original Ghostbusters make an appearance as new characters. It had a budget of $144 million and made $229.1 million at the box office. Here are some fun bean facts. In the end, it lost over $70 million after the theaters took their revenue cut. It received a ton of unwarranted backlash before it came out because it was female-led, and it was review-bombed online before its release. At the time of its trailer release, it became the most disliked trailer on YouTube and ninth most disliked video of all time on YouTube. Leslie Jones received the most backlash on social media. The end credits show the title as Ghostbusters, Answer the Call. This was added by the studio, which wanted to avoid the confusion of having two films called Ghostbusters. A sequel was canceled after its box office performance. And if you care, this movie has a solid 74% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 2.3 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Anyway, back to you, gentlemen, and please enjoy writing your fix.
All right,
great job, Brian.
That was a good. There was a lot to cover there.
There was a lot to cover there.
This was quite the story. This was.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I realized we didn't talk about who's going to do plot drop for this one.
Well, the plot drop's really easy, Jay.
Oh, well then, well then clearly you have already decided who's doing plot drop.
I'll do it. Sure.
Okay, all right. Well, for those of you who may not seen Ghostbusters 2016.
Or blocked it out.
Or went into a fugue state during after the first 10 minutes of this film. Adam, why don't you tell everybody about what happens in Ghostbusters 2016 in everyone's absolute favorite segment. We took a poll. People voted.
Everyone voted.
Everybody voted. Mm-hmm. This is their absolute favorite. Plot drop.
What's in the plot?
It's the plot drop.
Hey, Remember Ghostbusters? The first one back in 1984? Remember how awesome it was?
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. It's the same film, just done poorly and without any... What did we saw it before? Reverence for it?
Yeah.
They just remade it. It's beat for beat, basically the same movie.
Yeah.
The only difference is that every beat of the movie takes longer to get to. The jokes are not as funny.
Yeah.
And there is actually a bad guy who's actually a human doing a thing throughout most of the movie. But we don't really know why he's doing anything.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like making... He has anti-Ghostbuster technology before the Ghostbusters exist to bring forth ghosts. And then he wants to open a portal to the, I guess, the spirit world because there are ley lines on New York that cross in Times Square. And then he'll bring forth Armageddon through a ghost hole. And then the Ghostbusters stop him.
Yeah. A ragtag group of scientists and their friends that they accumulate along the way have to stop a guy who is trying to start a ghost apocalypse in New York.
Yeah.
And they do.
And they do.
And it goes great.
Uh-huh.
That's about it.
That's about it.
That's really about it.
I mean, if you saw Ghostbusters, you've seen this movie.
Yeah.
Just think of that most movie you love. It's like, what would happen if someone made it, but like really poorly?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what the movie is.
The interesting thing is, okay. So I've done the watch along with this with the Discord. If you haven't joined the preview Discord, by all means, hop on in. The water's fine. Go to discord.gg/previewed. Join our community. If you're looking for internet best friends, it's the best place to hang out. Mm-hmm. We did the watch along on the Discord. Usually if we're doing or prepping a movie for the podcast, I need to watch it. And so I'd like to watch it with you guys. So come hang out with me and watch along. Really the consensus I walked away from with this movie was, I feel like this to me the whole time, and I'm going to be completely upfront. I don't hate this movie. I think this movie has some fun moments. This movie does relish in certain aspects of the ghost busting. That's fun. Like they had some new gadgets.
Sure.
There was like some fun action moments
in a vacuum.
Yeah.
In a complete and utter vacuum where there was never a Ghostbusters movie before this. This movie is perfectly fine.
Some of the CG is pretty fun.
Sure. Absolutely.
That opening sequence ghost looks really cool.
She does look pretty cool.
It's pretty evocative.
Yeah.
That being said,
the problem is
this movie feels like it was a remake of a movie that we all kind of thought was bad. And they were in it. It's almost kind of the joke that they are remaking the movie. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sorry.
There are certain Hollywood comedies, like when they did similar to like the Starsky and Hutch. They made a Starsky and Hutch movie. Why can't I say Starsky?
Well, it was a show from the 70s.
I understand. But part of the joke is that they're making a movie about this.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because it's like, this is such an old franchise. Why would we possibly make a movie about this?
Okay.
It felt like, oh yeah, remember how Ghostbusters was like kind of stupid? I guess let's like remake it and try to make it better. And
oh, that's the tone that's what you felt?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. But that's not the case.
There
were certain aspects of this movie that was like, it feels like it respects, but doesn't like the source material.
Yes. And I think at this point, it's a good opportunity to say, hey, 8 years ago, and more like for the next couple of years, there was a lot of content put on YouTube bashing this film and everyone a part of it. Like, it got real heated, and it was gross.
And it got hateful, immediately.
That's not what we're trying to do here.
In no way, shape, or form.
I mean, this movie has been, well, in the past now, it's been 8 years. No one's really talked about it in a while. Just want to remind everybody, we're not hating on this film.
No.
We're just critiquing it and, like, seeing what was presented in the movie. We're not trying to rehash any of that stuff.
Yeah.
There's hours of that vile. We're not trying to do that.
Another dice.
But you're right. It wasn't like this was a loving remake of a movie everybody liked. There were some choices that was in this movie that made it seem like they did not like or respect the source material.
Yeah.
Specifically, the scene with Bill Murray.
Yes. The Bill Murray scene the whole, the meta concept of it. If you haven't seen the movie, Bill Murray plays a completely different character and yes. someone who doesn't believe in ghosts.
All four of the, I guess not Egon, because he had passed before this movie was made, but there's a bust of him in the movie. But our surviving actors are all in the movie, but they're all playing different characters, and yeah. it's awkward and weird when they show up.
It feels, every time that they're in the movie, it feels like there's a moment where they're like, yeah, he's in the movie, but he's not playing who you think it is, because why would we do that? Why would we make more ghosts? Why would we make more Ghostbusters in the actual universe? Because no one liked those, remember? And I'm like, I think we liked them quite a bit. It feels like because you don't like Ghostbusters, so but isn't it funny that we have these cameos of the original cast?
It's a weird tone. It's a very weird tone. I didn't get it. Because I was watching it with my dad. Yeah. We're just watching it. We watched it at normal speed. Normally, I would have watched it like 2x speed. We're watching normal speed, and we're both kind of like,
I would really love to have been a fly on the wall when you were thinking about me. And like, Dad, I usually watch these like at 2x speed. Like, how do you feel about that?
No, he said no.
You actually asked?
No. Oh, okay. He would have said no. But we get to that scene with Bill Murray, which is like an app. Like they don't bust a ghost. Until I think it's like 45 minutes.
I mean, that's...
The movie's 2 hours long, which is about 25 minutes longer than the original film.
Yeah.
Like, this movie takes a while to get anything moving. But that Bill Murray scene, like, a little over halfway, like, he shows up to, like, see the first ghost they caught, because he doesn't believe them. The ghost pops out of the containment unit, picks him up, throws him out of a window, kills him.
Yeah.
And then look out the window and goes, that guy wasn't Ghostbuster material anyways. Scene ends, and we're moving on. And both my dad and I are like, what? Like,
yeah.
That's, why would, how, it's the line. Killing Bill Murray, oh, okay, this movie's being, but it, why would you write that line?
For me, because
that's a choice. It's just interesting.
And it's like we were talking about in the second Ghostbusters. It's like, look, at the end of the day, like, they're just still doing stuff in the Ghostbusters universe. So, like, as much as I got frustrated with Ghostbusters 2, I can't be that mad about it because I get to hang out with all my friends and do all the things.
Yeah,
like,
we're busting ghosts.
And I feel like that's... this movie assumes that, like, maybe we all didn't like Ghostbusters, but we all really, really love Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the reason why this movie is being made is because we all love Ghostbusters.
Yes!
Like, this movie would not be made if it wasn't for those first two films.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think a lot of the criticism came down to the casting and whatnot, and that gets icky immediately.
Oh, yeah. They did a great job.
I like this cast.
Yeah, they were great.
I Melissa McCarthy literally can do no wrong, in my opinion. She can do no wrong. I think she's an incredible, like, she's funny, she can do serious, she can do whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just like it when she talks.
Sure.
And, like, I almost called her Leslie Nope. Leslie Jones is so funny. She was everywhere for a hot second, and now she's not. And I don't know why. I never stopped liking her.
I don't know.
And Kate McKinnon is maybe the most interesting character in this whole thing. And Kristen Wiig does her job.
Yep.
Like she's the straight man person. Yeah. So like you know, I think the cast is great, and I think if this movie had happened. And they just set it in a world in which Ghostbusters were already a thing. I think you have a much better movie here. And I'm not trying to get into the fixing yet, but like that's the big. People are like, oh, well, blah, the whoa, it's woke, and yeah. I'm like, no. I was like, the problem is that they tried to reboot Ghostbusters when we just needed a sequel.
Yeah, we just needed more. We didn't need a new version of it.
No.
We just needed more Ghostbusters.
Like,
yeah, it was a weird thing where it's like, who was this movie for?
Who was this movie for?
If you're making a new Ghostbusters film, I would think they're like, oh, you want all the fans of Ghostbusters to come see this film. But then the content of this film is like, hey, did you like that original movie?
No. But also...
No, you shouldn't have, though.
But on that tone... If this movie is for like a new audience, I don't think this movie had enough touch, like had enough groundedness or touch, like touchstones to it.
It didn't.
For a new audience to really dig their feet in. Like, it just, it all felt like this movie kind of never, like, from a tone and a script perspective, this movie never really puts both feet on the ground.
It doesn't.
It never stands still.
No.
And when it does, there are a couple moments that it does, but it feels like it takes too long, almost.
The movie is longer than the original Ghostbusters.
Like, some of the serious moments, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I get what you're going for here, but, like... Now that we've
it's tonally very weird, because in the original one, there's the whole scene. Okay, the guys get fired from the college. They take out a third mortgage on Ray's home. They talk about it. Ray's very nervous.
Yeah.
We realize going into it how much money they have. It's not much. They have a limited window of opportunity to make this small business work. That does not happen in this film.
That was a good joke in this movie when they're looking at the firehouse and she's like, "Oh, it's $21,000 a month." And Kristen was like, "Go to hell." Yeah. It's like, "Oh, that's funny."
Yeah.
It's a good bit.
There are some really good bits, but tonally it's vastly more yuck 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 yuck. Oh, the slime went in every crack I have, and I'm a woman because that's I have. It's like, "What? No, that's too far. You don't need to do that. You don't need that. It doesn't. Yeah. These women are so talented and funny. We don't need to go blue with this at all.
Yeah.
It's absurd already as it stands. But they just. It was just so weird.
Yeah.
It was just so weird.
And the funny thing is, from a fixed perspective, I think you can fix. This is actually a pretty economical fix, in my opinion.
Oh, yes, I agree with you.
I think you can change the given circumstance, the world building.
Yep.
And I think you can change, you can tweak, the given circumstances of that, of the world could justify, you tweak the bad guy a little bit and just give him a little bit more of a backstory.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a better movie.
Yeah.
I think you can even keep the same cast.
Oh, our fix, we're going to keep the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no reason to change the cast. We can keep this the same cast. I would just make Chris Hemsworth. I don't know. Why did he have to be the dumbest person? I don't understand why he needed to be the dumbest person.
The bits weren't that funny. The first 10 minutes of it were funny.
Was it?
But it.
What? Kevin, why don't you have any frames in your glasses? Oh, they kept getting in the way. They kept getting foggy.
Honestly, that's not where I lose it.
I lose it with the Mike
hat joke for, you know, you have I'm allergic to cats. Well, he's a dog. That's okay. Now we're doing Laurel and Hardy, and that ain't it. Like, you know.
I don't understand why. Janine was not a punchline.
No.
She worked hard.
She was a force of nature.
Like, they were lucky she was on their side.
Yes.
They needed her.
She was not into it. Now, I think I have a very specific fix on how to keep the same vibe of that character.
Oh, okay.
Just make it a little bit more interesting. It's a little more difficult to write, but it's a little more interesting.
Okay.
Well,
here, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What do you think about the third act?
It kind of just comes out of nowhere.
It does kind of come out of nowhere, and I would argue it's too action-packed.
It's too action-packed.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I would argue that Ghostbusters really relishes in the original downtime a little too much.
Sure.
I like that Kate McKinnon has different kinds of proton packs. That kind of stuff, I'm like, yeah, man, that's cool. She's got the little pistol versions.
Sure.
That rules.
Yes, I agree with you. Having new tech is great. Like, the new movie has some new tech. It's like, oh, that, yeah, on a drone? That's brilliant!
For me, it's that there was no theme with this bad guy. It was kind of just like...
All of a sudden, a big top circus and an action sequence started. They were like John Wicking and whipping ghosts around with it. Like, it just felt like... Wait, what are the rules?
What are the rules?
What's going on? Yeah. Are they just pushing them back into a fog? Wait, everything I know about Ghostbusters doesn't line up with what the scene is right now. And it's cool, these different gadgets and stuff, but like, What is happening?
Yeah.
Why is this an action scene? Because, like, we could have busted these... I don't know. It just felt tonally, like, awkward and, like, we're throwing people around with...
I'm fine with that. But I understand your point.
It's just like, this doesn't feel like Ghostbusters anymore. It feels like a silly action movie.
Yeah. But I think if they'd earned that kind of sequence, I'd be kind of okay with
it. Well, if they earned it, yeah, sure, probably. But they didn't earn it at all.
Yeah. But I think there's... I think we're both really itching to fix this.
Sure.
In a way that I think maybe we should just get to it.
Okay, let's get to the fixing.
Because I think, like, the moral of the story of what we're talking about right now is just, like, this is not a whole, like, this is not a wholly bad movie if you fix the tone.
Yes.
Like, that's really the moral of the story. It's like, I walked away from watching this movie being like, there is a good movie in here.
There is.
There's a fun hang within this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like, if you kind of like, and also we kind of, did this movie feel like really Technicolor to you?
You mean the contrast is like being a little high and like everything. Whereas like colorful.
Ghostbusters always felt a little street level to me, a little bit more muted in its tones. Whereas this one was like,
it was
the color scheme is well, like,
it's the ghosts.
Yes, they're too colorful.
But they're too clean.
Yeah.
And all the ghosts, I just recently learned this. The ghosts from the original two Ghostbusters, all practical.
Yes.
They were shot on a black screen and then like double exposed to have a little bit of...
Yeah.
Yeah, these are all CG.
And it's much scarier when it's like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually
because these looked too clean. I remember when the trailer dropped, right before we started this channel, we watched it for the podcast. And we're all like, the ghosts don't look right. Like, that was like a consensus across the board. Wait, the ghosts are wrong. They're too clean. Now, here's the thing. Again, in a vacuum, those were really good ghosts.
Yeah.
Those were really good.
I would argue, I said we were just going to move with fixes, but I guess we still have more to talk about. I will say this. I think maybe that's also the issue with the joke structure in this movie. A lot of the funniness of Ghostbusters mm-hmm. is circumstantial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of them just quipping back and it's the, a lot of their jokes are them quipping back and forth to each other. And it's more relationship jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more like, honestly, the senses of humor were more like kind of real life.
Yeah. Well, they were small business people trying to figure out a thing. We had nuclear reactors on their back.
It wasn't set up punch. Whereas this movie was wildly set up punch
mm-hmm.
and it almost felt sketchy. Like sketchy comedy improv-y way. Yeah. I was like, cool. Well, they just wrote it like this is like they wrote this movie like a sketch show, and that's fine. That can work for comedies sometimes. The clearest example of that. Did you ever see The New Guys with Will Ferrell and
that's
Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, the police one. Yeah,
it's a hilarious movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's all sketches. If you watch it like that and realize it's all just sketches.
Oh, I didn't.
I'm like, oh, this scene, here's the joke. Like, here's the joke, and we're going to, like, structure it like a sketch,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to move on to the next scene. We'll progress the plot, but it's an interesting watch for that very reason. But, like, Ghostbusters is not, they're funny. They, within the fiction of the movie, are funny. They are diegetically funny.
Yes.
They're funny guys. Whereas this is real people trying to, like, whereas Ghostbusters 2016 was like characters in the moment who are doing jokes because the screenplay says we're doing jokes right now,
mm-hmm.
which I know that sounds really nitty gritty and really specific,
but it was the humor is vastly different in these franchises.
Yes.
I mean, and you'll even see that with Afterlife. There's a reason why Afterlife was made, because this movie did not do well. But when Afterlife comes around and people are like, oh, that was so like, they just basically did the first movie over again. I was like, yes, they did. They did do the Zool plot line over again. But
they brought back a bad guy, but like it's wildly different.
It is wildly different, but a lot of the same beats were there from the first movie, but in a different way. You know, same song, different tune.
I didn't feel that way at all. And I'm the first to say that, when I see movies that feel the same.
Of the humor...
Totally different.
It was similar to the first two movies. It was conversational.
It's character-based.
It was character-based, yep.
Yeah. I would much rather see a movie where the characters themselves are funny, not... Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. that was a big reason for it.
Yeah.
Too bright and too boisterous with the comedy. When the comedy's a little bit, more subtle.
Yeah. No, I get it. Huh. You know, it's funny. I just like realize a lot of my own thought processes is like in the process of talking about it on the show.
Yeah.
Like we have to stop ourselves from talking about things because we will have a tendency to start this podcast as we're setting up the tech for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we gotta
stop. Not. Save
I was
it.
Like, we're
you
gonna
shut you shut your mouth.
We'll try to recreate this in the moment, and it won't come out the same way. It won't come out as good. But let's fix this thing.
Shit.
Let's fix this thing. What are you looking for in a fix, my friend?
All I need in a fix is we change the tone. I think, and that is, I think, from a director's standpoint, Paul Feig was the wrong person to direct this movie.
I like Paul Feig.
He is capable of making good, fun movies, but
this isn't it.
That's not. He didn't need.
He's not a Ghostbuster.
He's not a Ghostbusters director.
Yeah.
Change the tone, and just this is a sequel to Ghostbusters 2.
Yes.
Make it a sequel.
Put it in the world.
Just put it in the world.
It doesn't even have to be a sequel. Like, it doesn't, just, like, well, I guess it would technically be if it's already in the world, but, like.
We just make it a sequel that takes place 25 years. 25 years, 26 years after the events of Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
That's all.
Like, that's literally it.
That's it.
That's 100% my own thought as well. And I'm like, I just, okay.
And here, so, and I think.
So where's our, so where is this, if the concept of what this fix is mostly a world building fix,
mm-hmm.
we're coming into.
Well, it's a world building fix, but also it's a motivation fix too.
Oh, of course. I kind of lumped that together.
Mentally. Oh, okay.
So where, if we're starting 26 years later,
mm-hmm.
where are our original four Ghostbusters right now?
Well, I think they have moved on. They're out and about. They're doing their own things. But I don't think we even really touch base with them until later in Act Two.
Okay.
I think the first step is okay. So this is tone has changed more closely to what Afterlife and the Frozen Empire is going to be in the original two films, right?
Yeah.
The ghosts are clearly more shot practically, or at least the CG is done to look practical.
Yeah.
Tone change, comedy's back to normal, or back to the normal, and the colors are all also muted. It's not quite as colorful.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just muted just a little bit. Not completely desaturated, but, you know, maybe 10% desaturated, just a little bit.
Of course.
I think the first question is, who's who here?
Who's who?
Who's related to who? Because I think a couple...
I don't think they all need to be related.
I was going to say, I think only a couple of them need to be related, and then the other ones shouldn't be.
I mean, I have very specific thoughts on this, and we talked about this before, but I think that Kristen Wiig plays Rey's daughter.
Kristen Wiig?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I think we can keep the storyline kind of the same in that she got swept up in the whole ghost thing, being Rey's kid,
mm-hmm.
and is trying to go from a academic perspective, trying to go straight.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think she's trying to be in the she's trying to get her foot in the door academic wise, but she also kind of has to hide that Rey is her dad.
Oh,
because like they all know him and know he's kind of a kook.
Sure.
Even though the Ghostbusters thing panned out, it doesn't mean his reputation is immediately better.
That's what I was thinking.
And I think we can have a similar perspective of her trying to get. I think she worked on this book. I think this is a perfect, like, this is actually a good device
mm-hmm.
to get them back together. She worked on this book with Melissa McCarthy, and it's suddenly back, you know, online, and mm-hmm. she's got to get rid of it. I think Melissa McCarthy is, like, they met working for her, for Rey,
mm-hmm.
and Melissa McCarthy is still working for Rey.
Okay.
And so she's like, I've got to go get her to take this book down, but I also know I'm going to have to go talk to my dad. Or that it could very well be a thing. It's like she goes sees her dad and is talking to him about it, and he realizes that she's still working for him, even though Kristen Wiig like made him promise that she wasn't invited here anymore, kind of thing. But like they've been hiding that from her. So there is a little bit of a there is a little bit of tension between the two of them
mm-hmm.
in that. Melissa McCarthy, like, and Ray are maybe a little bit closer than mm-hmm. Kristen Wiig is with her own dad.
Sure.
That's kind of, that's where I want to, like, set that.
Okay.
The only thing that's important to me, Winston is mayor.
Okay.
Because I think that's fun.
That is fun.
Because I think, I like the idea of him being mayor and him not necessarily being able to get on board with what the Ghostbusters are up to, but, like, knowing they're right, but, like...
Having to play the political game?
Having to play the political game a little bit.
Because it's been 25 years since anything happened in the
city. Or maybe he got burnt out by, you know, the whole Ghostbusters thing. Okay. But well, also...
Okay.
If there's no, if we're in Ghostbusters New York...
Yeah.
And we're kind of re-bumping up Ghostbusters, why are there no Ghostbusters?
Well, because he didn't need any.
Interesting. Because they busted all the ghosts.
Yeah. Well, much like they did in Afterlife, like, nothing really happened after Ghostbusters 2. Paranormal activity decreased exponentially. They were a small business. And
the well went dry.
The well went dry.
Interesting. Okay.
So, Winston could have gotten burnt out, but I think also, you know, he liked being able to help the public. And he just found out different ways of, you know,
and maybe
continuing that work.
He became the star, like, he became kind of the breakout star because he's so handsome.
And he was the working man.
Yeah.
And the other three were, you know, and works at a college. He was just a
working stiff who saved New York.
Mm-hmm, blue collar Joe.
Out there. Honestly, you're even saying that. I'm like, I'd vote for that guy.
he helped save New York twice.
Yeah.
In the past. And he's just been putting his time in, you know, helping in local government, and he's worked his way up.
Yeah, and I just think that's a fun dichotomy when they, like, and also from a movie-making perspective, that going to the mayor's office is kind mm-hmm. of a loaded thing in the Ghostbusters world, mm-hmm. and them going there and showing up, and it's Winston.
And surprise, it's Winston.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's just good. That's fun on a bun.
Mm-hmm. And this time the mayor would actually be like, yeah, I get it. I know exactly what's going on. I'm going to help as much. I can actually help this time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. Okay, sorry. Well, you were saying something a while earlier, and I got really into the whole Winston thing.
I think one of the main things of this movie needs to be, and I think if you want to keep it where Kristen Wiig is Ray's daughter and Melissa McCarthy is her friend and closer to Ray because she believes, I think part of this needs to be that Melissa is trying to validate the Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Because there's a whole, that's why Kristen Wiig is trying to get away from it. She believed the entire time. And then she got to a point of like, no one believes this anymore. I want a career in science. And I have to make a choice. And because it's my entire life, there have been no ghosts. I know that things happen. I've seen the things. I've seen the footage. But, like, they don't exist here. I'm going to look out for myself. And not that I don't love my dad. And believe what he and his friends did. But, like, I have to disavow that stuff in order to have my own career.
Yeah.
And Melissa McCarthy is like, we have to validate what the guys did. You don't understand. Like, they saved, you know, all this. They saved the city multiple times. Like, all the reason we're all still here and that we're not in some type of ghost apocalypse is because of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's very important that we, like, let, you know, this new generation, these silly millennials, hey, the Ghostbusters were awesome. They were heroes in the 80s. You have no idea what they did. And I think that the same, you know, we can have the book because that she wrote it when they were kids and like trying to, you know, help her dad and her friends. And now she's trying to disavow the book, but like things start popping up again. And maybe we could have some similar nods to things that happened in the first movie. But like, I think we try to do something that's different because I think the bad guy could still be the same, but I think we need way more backstory and him to be a little bit more complicated and not just like some crazy basement dwelling guy.
And I think with the bad guy situation and its motivation for Kristen Wiig's character as well, it's they realize that there is a way, because he would also, like, Ghostbuster tech would be out there, and I imagine you could watch a YouTube video on how to build some of this stuff in your backyard.
Uh-huh.
I think he has figured out a way to use ley lines to break everything out of containment. That's at Ghostbusters.
Because the containment unit would still exist somewhere.
The containment unit would still be there.
That's
why Kristen Wiig is like, Kristen, because Ray is like, if they figure out about this containment unit, this gets out, like, I'm ruined. Like, they can't like, this is protecting New York.
The city, yeah, kept so making sure the power's still on, like, for the containment unit.
I will
unit.
Ghostbust. I will help just so, just, but then as soon as this is taken care of, I'm out. And you guys got to, like, leave me alone and let me do what I need to do.
Sure.
So she's a reluctant Ghostbuster kind of vibe.
So I think, let's talk about the bad guy right now. Yeah. I think the bad guy needs to be, like, his parents were hurt or ruined or something about with one of the things that happened in the original movies.
Yeah.
And he was negative. His life was for the worse because the Ghostbusters succeeded in one or two.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like,
there's a reason why he would not like what happened back in the day and why he would want his revenge on the city. And the best way he can do that is by trying to release ghosts. Because
how emotional do we want to make this?
I mean,
this
could his parents be dead? He's trying to get his parents.
It could very well be like he grew up in a home, like he lost his mom like pretty early on,
mm-hmm.
and he grew up in like kind of a bad situation with his dad.
Sure,
and like the ghost of his mom was the one thing that was taking care of him.
And they busted
and, like,
the mom.
And they came in and like busted the ghost. And they're like,
I think that's great. Not all ghosts are bad. I think that is amazing. I think it's amazing.
Like, it's a little ham-fisted.
A little, but not that much. Well, I mean, as we're going to see in Frozen Empire, like, the Ghostbusters Institute or whatever, like, Slimer's around. Like, they were realizing that, like, not all specters are bad.
Yeah.
Like, there is that nuance. But it seemed, at least the trailer seemed like they were going to have some nuance to it. They're like, oh, not Ryan, I don't have to bust all the ghosts.
Yeah.
Some of them are helpful.
Yeah, some of them are fun.
This is a weird world we're living
Slimer's
in.
Slimer's hilarious, and he makes really good high C.
Yeah. But I think that is a great way of doing it.
Yeah.
They busted the mom, and he just wants to have, you know, he never dealt with his grief.
And so he's just, but also he knows that she's in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just trying to get her out. And he's figured out that, like, through ley lines and stuff.
But what he doesn't know is that by doing what he's going to do and create a ghost hole to break enough the barrier to release everyone in the containment unit, it's actually going to let out somebody else.
I also want to say this. I think Neil Casey gives a truly incredible performance as the bad guy in this movie. It is just a shame that it's kind of written very poorly. Because I was just like, dude, this movie... Because I was like, I know, like, because I've seen him on stage at, like, UCB and stuff. Like, he is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's an excellent performer and a very good actor. And I'm sure he walked away from this process being like, man, people are going to be, like, really noticing me after this. And it's not his fault.
No.
It's really frustrating.
No. Also, no dancing.
No dancing?
That dance sequence or whatever is...
All right, John Lithgow. Come on, man.
It wasn't funny.
There's no dancing in Beaumont.
It wasn't funny.
It was not. None of that.
Yeah, all the possession stuff. None of that's good.
Because it wasn't true to the character of this villain that we had set up.
Nope.
Like, the joke should have been that, like, he's trying to be charming and, like, a charming bad guy, and it doesn't go... And it's kind of falls flat.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been the joke. I mean, like, are you trying to be a charismatic bad guy? Like, you're not that. Like, you need to just... Can you just get on with the apocalypse? Like, because this sucks.
Yeah. And I think... You want to make this awesome? Like, do you want to make this awesome? Do you want to make this really good?
Hit me with a hot note. Watch me bounce, baby. Let's go.
So he succeeds. Act two, he actually, you know, the plan comes to fruition, and he's able to generate enough... ghost activity, spectral activity, I guess that's a better way of saying it, on the ley lines to crack the ley lines,
yeah,
and to cause the containment unit to break.
Okay.
But then he gets what he wants, but unbeknownst, like, something much worse is about to emerge from the ghost hole or whatever, the hell mouth, let's just say. This is where we can add in lore, and this is where the other guys can come back, especially Ray, because, like, he knows everything about the occult.
Yeah.
So, like, this guy was, you know, there are terrible things down there that Egon and I had researched. Like, you don't want one of these guys
there's
showing
some stuff,
up.
There's some stuff that we busted that we didn't really talk about because we didn't want to ever talk about it ever again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like there's some, but
so
almost I almost want to push this moment a little bit earlier.
Okay.
And maybe like there's like a good like 15 minutes of this movie where like more ghosts are kind of become the status quo a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe and this is where we get the lesson of like not all ghosts are bad.
Ooh, okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, because I think the journey of our villain is that he succeeds and he talks to his mom and she, you know, they have the moment and it's really nice, but like then the apocalypse happens in New York or is starting mm-hmm. and he realizes and the mom is like, I made a mistake in not going.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have stuck around, but I loved you and I just,
yeah,
we didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
And now I got to go, but you need to fix this because,
oh, interesting.
This is, I know my son and that's not it.
Yeah.
And so you got to go help them. And so he has his own redemption, small arc of
that's good.
Helping them.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Helping them fix the damage that he caused. And,
yeah.
Maybe he ultimately sacrifices himself at the end, or maybe he does in fact help them do a thing to fix the thing, to, you know, what have you, and he is able to come back in a future sequel as a, you know, as a redemption arc, because like
yeah.
he knows a lot about this tech.
Yes,
there's a reason he did anti-Ghostbuster technology. Yeah, you kind of want him on your team if you realizes the error of his ways and to make sure whatever the heck's down
there.
Yeah,
him and Kate McKinnon fall in love.
Well, there you go.
Because they're they're tech nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, you're not gay? like no, yeah, I'm an enigma. That's a line she would say. Like that's a like we all just kind of assumed. It's like yeah, that's where you go wrong. Never assume.
Don't make it assume. Yeah,
yeah. Hmm. But yeah,
it's
not bad.
It's not. Yeah, this movie. There are most of this movie, just slightly massaged and adjusted. It's all there.
Yeah.
And then once you know, ghosts come back, and a new crop of Ghostbusters, you know, dons the mantle.
Almost
to save
yeah.
the city again.
Like almost, we've set a status.
It redeems everybody.
Take like the bad guy, like the quote unquote, like you know, boss ghost. That's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Gets taken out at the end of this movie. But then we set a status quo that like, yeah, but it's still everything is the containment unit is at zero, so everything else is still back out there.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're like you know that's even like that feels like the last line of the movie. It's just like, well, we're gonna need more Ghostbusters because there's a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, busting makes us feel good.
Oh yeah, and Fall Out Boy does not re-record the song.
No, they do not.
I forgot they did that, and when it's played in the movie, I was like, no,
no.
And I like Fall Out Boy. But like no, we don't need.
What's the emotional arc for our two main characters, Chrissy Wig, and Melissa McCarthy?
I think they need to see each other.
But what is there to see? I guess is what my question is.
Well, Kristen Wiig has been trying to get away from this whole thing for this whole time because she wanted her own career, and then like realizing that she knew it was real, but now like she's really like forced to like, yes, it was real, but it's not like, it's not a stain on her family legacy.
Yeah.
Her dad was right the entire time.
Yeah.
So in a her helping this whole endeavor reconnects her with her dad.
Yeah.
And then Melissa, because she's been wanting to defend the Ghostbusters the entire time. And now that with the Ghostbusters, you know, with them picking up the mantle and helping and saving the city, Ray is the original members are like back in, you know, favor with everybody.
Yeah.
Winston's like,
he's mayor.
You kind of facilitate. Of course he's going to spin it. Like, yeah, of course I helped him.
Yeah.
Cause I know what it was like. And then, so he's like super popular now.
I think there's a,
there's a cult on, you know, it's,
I think there's like
stuff.
A conversation to be had, with Melissa McCarthy's character that like she's trying to get the Ghostbusters like back into, she wants
the respect. They want them to be respected, not just like laughed at.
Yeah. And But I think there's got to be some emotional connection to that.
Okay.
I know this was technically already done in the most recent one, but I think it makes sense.
Okay.
I think maybe it comes out later that, like, maybe Melissa McCarthy is just Egon's daughter. And it gets to a point where she's like, my dad passed while the Ghostbusters were still a joke. I can't leave them a joke.
Ray and Inga are one of the closest.
Yeah.
So of course Ray would help his best friend's daughter.
But I don't think we wait for
that little drop.
Yeah. I think it's like the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, it's not, we're not hiding it.
No.
But also it's like, it's kind of just a little bit, you know, and I think she's just like, the Ghostbusters like can't be a joke and can't be over, because if the Ghostbusters are over, then people are going to forget about my dad. Like, I think that's it.
I think that's the big argument they have at the end of Act Two.
And she's, or
maybe
like,
the mid Act Two when she's about to leave.
And she's just like, oh, of course you're running away again, because like you're embarrassed of like, you know, everything cool your about
family,
your life.
Family legacy, yeah.
And she's just like, the you don't even legacy. Know anything. Like, yeah. I'm really trying to make something of myself. And she was like, you never, like, everyone here always thought you were cool.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to run away from any of this.
Yeah. I don't know what, yeah.
You're the coolest.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's real good.
That's good. And I think we keep, I think Leslie Jones is just a subway operator. Like, it's
sure.
Like, I think that's just, she has some of the funniest bits in the movie, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And Kate McKinnon is just a crazy tech nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inspired by Aegon.
See, now I kind of want to, now I really want to see this movie.
Yes, because it'd be awesome. And Chris Hemsworth. Oh, what's your fix for Chris Hemsworth?
Oh. Oh.
Because I don't mind him being there. I just want to be so damn dumb.
I think the overarching joke of Chris Hemsworth should be, if you're going to make him that stupid,
mm-hmm.
I just need him to be the luckiest son of a bitch on the planet.
Oh, okay.
Like expounding upon, or just being like low-key a savant.
When it comes to...
And pretty much anything. Like the moment when she like grabs a sandwich and throws it back, and then someone just kind of throws him a sandwich again. I was like, that should be the joke the whole time.
Quick question about that scene.
That was ridiculous.
Was that ad-libbed?
I don't know.
It felt like...
It was funny, though.
It felt ad-libbed. Oh, as you. Like someone just off camera caught it, because clearly...
And then hooked him a sandwich.
And then he was like... And they threw it back to him. And they took that cut. They took that take.
No, I kind of liked that.
Okay.
But, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the kind of thing where, like...
He's really dumb, but he can make things happen because he's so goddamn charming.
It's like almost like a Michael Scott foil, where it's just like, how does this guy get anything done? And then, no, he's actually the most productive salesperson in the office. Like the episode where a pretzel day,
uh-huh.
where he's just like waiting for pretzels all day and blah, blah, blah. And then it ends up making the biggest sale of the year, like while being wildly incompetent and be sugar crashed from the pretzel.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like it should be that kind of vibe.
That makes a little bit more sense than
just being
wildly stupid.
I don't
even know how
stupid.
Phones work.
Like, he's so stupid that I don't know why. It is not clear to me why they keep him around. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it almost takes me out of the given circumstances, and I'm already barely in.
Because
I was just like, I don't know. You're paying this guy?
He doesn't understand anything that's going on right now, but he's able to do the thing somehow.
Yeah, or you need to build him like an Andy Dwyer.
Oh, okay.
Like he's an idiot with a heart of gold.
Sure.
Like he's wildly incompetent, but like he wholeheartedly and very sweetly really believes in the Ghostbusters. I mean, if we're making all the, like, honestly, you make this Bill Murray's kid.
Sure.
Like if we're going to just, it'd be like, like we've got to hire him. He's a Venkman. He's part of the.
Is it Oscar?
Sure.
Could be Oscar.
It could be Oscar.
Could be Oscar.
Sorry, he's as far as Ghostbusters go, he's royalty. He was
almost possessed by a painting.
He doesn't. He really is. Did something happen? Yeah, and that's like
did
the joke.
Something
like,
happened to him as a kid.
Something happened to him as a kid. Well, but he
that's
really,
great.
But he well, really well. Love. But he really loves
yeah,
the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, but you know, and he was possessed by a painting for a couple seconds
because it fills. And it almost feels that, like, Rick Moranis
just a little slot. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When he, like, shows up, he's like, guys, I'm here.
I'm a Ghostbuster. Like, I'm a Ghostbuster.
Like, I don't think there's a battery in my proton pack. Like, yeah, you don't
get one. No, yeah.
You don't get one.
No, it just makes the sounds.
Yeah. You just get to, you know, you get to.
Oh, there are batteries. It's just two AA's. Just enough for the speaker.
Yeah. I think that works.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
Yes.
Because it's like, because that is, he's showing up and doing his best and doing a terrible job, but he's really trying.
Yeah.
That, to me, is more the person and the character is doing funny things mm-hmm. rather than you have written funny jokes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you're letting funny people just riff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, I love that.
I know that you do.
Because that's you gotta, also the flavor of who I am as a person.
Yeah, I know. You just got to kind of put little fences on it about.
No, I know.
But
that's the thing.
There were no fences in this movie.
I am a bit, you know me, I like to improvise.
I know that you do.
I also, if you want to get a terrible performance out of me.
Give you a script.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, I mean, not completely wrong, but if you want to get a terrible performance out of me,
yeah.
don't give me any guide rails.
Oh.
They're like, oh, just do what you feel is right. I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
No. You need to, like, give me what beats you need. Give me what moments you need.
Please put,
like,
me in a box.
It's not even that. Like, I need a pen, not a box. Like, I need room to.
A
I need,
pen's just a really big box.
I'm a free. I can be a free range chicken, but there's still, you know, something keeping the coyotes out. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see this movie now.
I know.
Because the thing is. Because
they could pull this off.
Because they could pull this off. They this could would be pull really it off. Good.
Yes, it would.
I really like the idea of, just like Melissa McCarthy and Dan Aykroyd just like going back and like bipping back and
yes,
like, and they have like it's, I think it's like they have like a they're very they have a good working relationship, but they're just so mean to each other.
Sure, that's great. I mean? Yeah,
like, and I feel like it's part of the dynamic. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's there's a lot that could this could really work.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
But, I mean, Frozen Empire comes out very soon.
And I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I can't wait to see it. I mean, we're going to wait to see it. But I can't wait to see it.
All right. I think we got this into a good spot.
I think we did. Yeah, because then it's just sequel bait after that.
Yeah, it just makes me sad sometimes when we fix stuff and it's like the ship it's not just sailed. It's completely sunk. Like, there's no way. There's not even a possibility of it. Because
no,
I'm like, oh,
there's
this
no
could,
way.
We
no.
could. But I just. Okay. Never mind.
We got Paul Rudd now.
We got Paul Rudd now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the right guy for the job.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. It's just like,
I guess.
He's our generation's Bill Murray.
Oh.
Have you noticed that?
No. Yeah. But that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. He's just like the guy. It's like, I mean, I think Bill Murray has gotten a little bit more mean-spirited as he's gotten older, but like,
a little bit.
He was always a little snarky, but it's also
the snark is getting sharper.
That was but also I think that's just kind of certain aspects of comedy not really aging well always. Because like Chevy Chase was like, that was his whole thing, like kind of being a dick. And it was like, we don't like that anymore.
Please stop.
Please, that's not funny. Nope.
Could you fall again, please?
Yeah, I like it when people are nice to each other.
Like, please and thank you.
It's like, if you're going to be snarky, at least it should be someone you know and come from a loving place. Should be a, like, that's the thing. It'd be like, oh, Jay's like really taking it to Adam. I was like, yes, because I love him. If I didn't like him, I wouldn't say anything. Anyways,
I think we did a very good job of fixing this movie.
This feels good. I'm happy about it. But.
Yeah, I'm also sad that we didn't get to see that movie.
Yeah,
because that would have been awesome.
What are we fixing next week, pal?
Next week, well, next week is a interesting week because Godzilla comes out next week.
Oh,
or I'm sorry, Godzilla
X Kong.
Kong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can't really fix a Godzilla film because we did one earlier. We did the 90s one with Ferris Bueller. So we're going to fix another monster movie.
Oh.
Rampage.
That's right, Rampage. Awesome, 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 awesome.
Which is not, it's not that bad.
It's a fun flick.
It's a fun flick.
It's a fun flick. I stand behind it. Oh, that'll be fun.
It will be fun. And also we get to see the movie again.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us today, you guys. Thanks for, I think we fixed it. I think we did a great job.
I think we did a great job.
But, you know.
And in record time.
And we really, well. you know.
We needed to.
We got a lot of other content to make.
There's
we got,
so much stuff going
look,
on.
You guys wanted Shogun, so this is how this goes this week. You know what I'm saying?
Pay the iron price.
But you know what to do with podcasts. If you listen to this wherever you catch podcasts in the ear space or the listen of the listen half, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a quick review, maybe leaving us 5 stars. It really helps with the algorithm. It helps bump us up on Spotify and on Apple Music or wherever you find your podcasts. Also, if you're catching this on YouTube, hi, YouTube. How's this going? You know what to do.
Hi.
Like, subscribe, hit that bell. Do that YouTube that you do so well. Guacamole's Extra, you podcast watching weirdos, you. I've never understood why podcasts need to have a video element, but it's very important to the industry now.
It is now.
So here we are. I like it in my ears, earbudsies. As we end every single one of these episodes, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
It's the slow crossing of the streams you don't see coming.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
We haven't done that in a while. Good for us, right?
Not recording something?
Yeah, recording the audio on something?
Yeah.
That's good. Good on us.
Record.
All right.
We're good. Thing. Got this thing up. Boom. We'll keep it snappy.